Measure Up Podcast, Episode 31, Subscriber Q&A. In this episode, getting top management to define the goals, getting meaningful measures that work, how to get people to enter data, good and inexpensive dashboard applications, and more. Well, I thought we'd try something a little different for this episode of the Measure Up podcast. Normally, I'm really just sharing the same content that's in the Measure Up email newsletter. But for some reason, I just felt like answering questions today. So I've gone through last week's subscriber questions. You know, when you subscribe to the Measure Up email newsletter, one of the questions I ask you is, what's your biggest performance measurement question? So a lot of people fill that out, which is great, and it tells me the kinds of things that you're wanting to know about. So I've taken a selection of those, and I'll be going through them one at a time in today's podcast. So without any further ado, let's get going. So our first question is from Deline, and Deline asks, how do you choose KPIs that really fit the goals of the company? And how do you get top management to truly define the goals of the company? I'm going to tackle the second part of Deline's question first, getting top management to truly define the goals of the company. Because without having clearly defined goals, measurement really is very hard to do properly because you have no direction. Measurement's evidence of achieving a particular result, a performance result that matters. And if you don't know what the performance results are that matter, then anything that you choose to measure will really just take up a lot of time, might look interesting, you might fluke on coming up with a few good measures, the measures won't be aligned to anything, and it's very much the same as just letting the whole organization go and do its own thing. So setting the goals of the company is a very, very important thing, at least from a measurement point of view. If top management don't believe in setting goals for the company, I would suggest doing a little experiment with or for them. And that would be taking a sample of staff from all different parts of the company and asking them probably just one question is really all you need to ask them. And that would be, what do you believe are the most important things for this company to get better at right now? If you record that data, maybe let people sort of offer you two or three or four priorities that they would answer that question with. Summarize all of that data and do some kind of affinity analysis if you want to. You know, maybe two staff members have mentioned something quite similar. Well, just list that thing once in your final list, but take that final list to top management and say to top management the same question before showing them the list, of course. What do you believe are the most important things that we need to improve or get better at in this company right now? And compare the list from top management then to the list of comments that the staff gave and see if there's any disconnect there. And if there is a disconnect, then that's got to be a trigger for top management to realize that what staff think is important and are currently trying to work on is not what they think is important. So straight away, that should ring an alarm bell, you know, that resources are being wasted, time's being wasted, and staff are not giving their attention to the things that matter. If the lists are quite similar, then an interesting, that would be great, and it would be a complete fluke, I imagine. But if the lists are similar, that can be a useful exercise too, to say, well, it's interesting that these lists are similar. Let's draw out what we think is probably a more concise or a better way of expressing these goals. And we'll give that as feedback to staff to say, look, yeah, you really have hit the nail on the head. It's clear that you guys understand what the priorities are. Either way, you've gotten top management to start talking about the results that really do matter for the organization, the top goals. Now we can talk about the first part of Deline's question. How do you choose KPIs that really fit the goals of the company? Well, that starts with how those goals of the company are worded or expressed or articulated. And that language is of paramount importance to the measurability of those goals. In other words, to how easy it's going to be to work out the best KPIs or measures for those goals. You need to express goals in everyday language, not using management speak. When you use words like efficient, sustainable, reliable, quality, effective, those sorts of words, which a lot of goal statements do have in them, you're just diluting and confusing what the goals really are about. Words like that do not communicate consistent meaning to everybody. So put the goals into everyday language. When it's in everyday language, it's easier for people to see what those goals mean, and I mean see in their mind's eye, so that then you'll have a much more consistent understanding among people about what the goals really mean. When you have that consistent understanding and it's a clear understanding, it's so much easier for people to understand how the performance of the work that they contribute to will impact on the company goals. Now, John asks one of the generic questions, but because it's asked so often, I might as well talk about it here. So John's question is, how do you develop meaningful measures that work? There's kind of two aspects here that John's got his attention on. One is a meaningful measure, and the other is a measure that's going to work, that's going to, and I'm going to assume, improve performance, because that's what a measure working is. It's improving performance. The basic mistakes that people make when they try to develop performance measures is they use approaches like brainstorming or looking at what data they have or seeing what other people are measuring and trying to get their ideas for measures that way. But what you really need to start with is not looking outwards for ideas, but looking within to get a deeper understanding of the goals or objectives that you're trying to measure, the performance results that you are trying to measure. You need to think about evidence. So think like Sherlock Holmes, think in terms of evidence. If your performance results are happening the way you want them to, what is different about the world? And I think it can help to maybe think about two parallel universes. In one universe, things are a certain way, but in the other universe, the only difference is that your performance result that you're trying to find a measure for is happening. In the first universe, it's not really, but in the second universe, it is. Describe the differences between those two universes. Describe what you are seeing, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you can touch that convinces you that your result's happening. Now, something not to do here is to talk about what I call spin-off benefits. So just say your result is about improving customer loyalty. You might say, well, where we have high customer loyalty, the evidence is our revenue's higher. Well, that's actually wrong. It could be the case that your revenue's higher if you have better customer loyalty, but revenue is not evidence of customer loyalty. Revenue is evidence of getting more money from your clients. You need to think about direct evidence of the result. Otherwise, you end up with measures that might tell you one thing, but it's not an accurate assessment that your result's happening or not. If you were just to monitor revenue, you don't know whether that's coming because you've got more loyal customers or because you've got a whole lot more new customers that are responding to sales promotions, the kinds of customers that might buy once but never again. So different reasons why revenue can grow, and it may not be the reason that you want. If you want to measure customer loyalty, you've got to talk about evidence of how loyal your customers are. So developing meaningful measures that work, we've talked so far just about the meaningful measures part of it, measures that are direct evidence of the results that you have. To make sure those measures work, you've got to bring them to life. You need to implement them. You need to decide exactly how they need to be calculated, what the right data is to get, either from existing systems or to start collecting that data if you haven't got it already, how frequently you're going to measure it, and how you're going to display the measure or report it, and who to. and what kinds of signals you're going to look for in the measure, and what your response or action should be depending on which type of signal you see in the measure. To create a meaningful measure, you've got to have a really well-expressed goal, and you need to think in terms of evidence of that goal. To make sure that the measure works means you need to be very operational in the way you define the measure and its calculation, its data, and how you're going to use it, and those sorts of things. These are learnings that I had very early in my career as a measurement consultant at Queensland Rail. And it was those sorts of experiences, those sorts of challenges, trying to help managers there answer that very same question, how do you develop meaningful measures that work, that led to I guess the unfolding of PUMP, which is my methodology. It's come because I've had to deal with these challenges, and there wasn't anything out there to tell me how to deal with them. So I, through trial and error and researching and I guess maybe a little bit of inventing, tried to come up with a means of doing these things. So measurement is a process, and behind John's question is the premise that it is a process. It's not just about developing meaningful measures, it's making sure that they work. Next question is, I'm going to say from AJ, because I don't know AJ's first name and they're AJ's initials. AJ asks, how do you measure workload through a database system when staff don't use the database system as much as they should? Now, this is a question about how do you get staff to collect the data or provide the data for you to be able to measure something about those staff? Well, perhaps you can hear the conflict right there in those words. Why aren't staff using the database system? It could be a range of reasons, but the very first one to consider is measuring workload in some way threatening to staff? That is going to be probably the first place to go to in any situation where you're finding that staff are not collecting or providing the data that you need to measure something about their performance. If that's the case, if they're feeling threatened about it, then it's either a case of them not understanding the importance and value of the measure to them, or it's a case of you're using the measure in a way that definitely is threatening to them and you need to stop. Staff are not going to help you shape the rod for their own back. It's a daft thing to expect. And even though it might not look like it on the surface, it can definitely feel that way psychologically to a lot of people. So the first thing to do would be to have a conversation about why measuring workload is important to the company and important to staff. Other reasons why it's difficult for, or why staff might not be using the database system is that the actual system itself, now I'm not talking about the measure anymore, I'm just talking about the database workload system, is probably where they're putting in their hours and the hours that they've spent on different jobs. They may see no personal value from that at all, irrespective of whether they know you're measuring workload or not. They just see that they've got to enter all this data into a system and it doesn't help them, it just gets in their way of doing their real work. Again, you need to have a conversation with them about why providing that data is a really important thing to do. And a third reason why people might not be using it is that it's clunky, it's time consuming, it isn't easy to use. They don't know how to fit it into their normal day's work. So there are practicalities or logistical practicalities that you can also talk to staff about and get some feedback about how they find the system to use and when they try to use it and what parts of their day would be appropriate for them to use it. The bottom line, I think, is to try and understand what staff are going to get out of using the system and helping you measure workload. If there's no what's in it for them, if there's no benefit for them, I don't think you can reasonably expect them to do it, because as far as they're concerned, they've got so many hours in a day, they've got work to do, and they're going to prioritize. And filling in a database system is usually at the low end of everyone's priority list. It generally happens a lot too that we expect staff to provide data for a particular measure, and they never see what happens with that data. So sometimes it can be just as simple as showing them what is being used, what the data is being used for, what benefits coming from the data. And it might mean just reporting back the workload measure to them as frequently as you might be reporting it to management. So can talk about the results. They might have conversations about workload management. They may have ideas for how to improve the rate at which they can get through workload. They may be able to give you anecdotal information about the root causes of any workload problems. To involve them in the performance management process for that workload can be all that's needed to get them to understand the value of putting the data in. Now, a very interesting question has come from Sam, and Sam asks, how do you convince a statistician that you need to measure the performance of their business? That's kind of funny, isn't it? Because you think statisticians know the importance of measuring all sorts of things, but statisticians are just like any other person. If they are focused very much on the work they're doing and getting through the work that they're doing and not thinking so much about why their work's important or what aspects of their work is important, they're not going to get why you need to measure the performance of their business. They may see it as a threat because what they may think you're talking about is measuring how quickly they're working, how much workload they're getting through, how accurate they are, things like that. And that's a potential threat to their technical professionalism. But if you can help them understand the broader goals of the business and how, through the work that they do, they can influence or impact those goals, then it's much easier for them to see why measuring would be a useful thing as feedback to them. The measuring should not be seen as a way of challenging their technical prowess. It is more about providing them with ongoing feedback so that they can have a greater and greater impact through the skills and knowledge that they have. I think any time that we have measures that people think are attached to their own personal performance, we've got a real problem. Don't try to convince people that that's a good thing, because it just isn't. People don't want to be treated that way. They don't want to be measured. Measures need to be seen as feedback to help them do a better and better job and to collaborate with other people to produce better and better outputs so that the organization or the business they work for can fulfill its mission and achieve its vision. It's a conversation not a lot of people get the opportunity to have, not a lot of people take the opportunity to have, but it's a very, very important conversation. So don't try to convince the statistician that they need to measure their business if their understanding of that is about measuring their technical skill. It's got to be about measuring the outputs that they are trying to contribute to and measuring other things that give them feedback to have a bigger impact through the work that they do. Next question comes from Tom. Tom's asking, what is a good and inexpensive dashboard system to use to track KPIs? Now, I'm not going to profess to know every dashboard system that exists out there, and I certainly haven't used them all, that's for sure. But there are three that I want to recommend for when you're creating your first dashboard, or not necessarily your first dashboard, but one that you know is going to be in place for a little while, that will buy you some time before you need to think about using your own enterprise business intelligence software if you've got it, or before you make the decision about what exactly is going to be right for you. Now, the first one I'm going to recommend is an Excel product that has been developed by a guy called Charlie Kidd. Now, if you go to excelluser.com, you'll find that he's got a little tab there called Excel Dashboards, and there he talks about and shows examples of different types of dashboards, templates that that you can buy from him that really set up some really basic, nice charts to report KPIs using Excel, which most people have anyway. So that would be one I'd recommend, excelluser.com, and that's Charlie Kidd's product. The second thing that I would recommend would be something like KPI Dashboard. So that is a product developed by the KPIlibrary.com. Carol Vanderpoel is one of the founders of that company, and their KPI Dashboard product is certainly very easy to use. It's a cloud application, so the idea is that you upload your data into it, and it reports for you. They've got some great little apps for iPhones as well, so that you can look at your dashboard on your phone if you're that desperate. You can't wait till you get back to the office. But it's a really lovely application, and they put a lot of time and effort and testing into the development of their product. So I highly recommend KPI Dashboard. And I'm pretty sure you'll find it just by going to KPIDashboard.com, and I'm typing it in right now just to check that that will take you there. It does. It takes you to their page there, which shows you the plans and pricing. And I also note here that the first 30 days are free on all plans, so you can test it out before you decide whether that's the one to go with. Now, the third relatively inexpensive and good dashboard application I'm going to recommend is called Tableau. Now, you will find them at tableausoftware.com. That's Tableau as in T-A-B-L-E-A-U, I think. Oh my goodness, I've just had a spelling glitch. Yeah, T-A-B-L-E-A-U software. .com. Are you annoyed waiting for me to type this in with the pauses in the recording? Okay, yep, tableausoftware.com. Now, this, ironically, is the one that I use. I'm not sure how to spell it, but it's the one I use for my own business. I got a single user license for about $1,000 US, and paying, I can't remember how much my annual fee is, it's like a couple of $100 maybe. That gives me access to support and to free upgrades and all of that kind of stuff. So I absolutely love it. And it's probably a bit more advanced, well, definitely is more advanced than the other two applications because it's more than a dashboard. You build your dashboards through Tableau, but it's definitely a fantastic tool for visual analysis as well. So it does quite a bit more. So they're my three favorites for kickstarting you off on starting to develop dashboards. So that was ExcelUser.com, Charlie Kidd's stuff, and KPI Dashboard, which is affiliated with a product from KPI Library, and also Tableau Software. Now, the next question is from Aurelie, and Aurelie's asking, where do you find retail-specific KPIs or inspiration to create custom-made KPIs? That's a really cool question. The first place that I usually go to when I'm trying to find KPIs for inspiration is kpilibrary.com. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with KPI databases online, or books, or any kind of resources where people are trying to sell you thousands and thousands of KPIs. And my love-hate relationship is for this reason. I hate them because I think it makes it too easy for people to think that you can shop for KPIs like you shop for baked beans or sugar or chocolate-coated biscuits. You can't. You really cannot. KPIs are a very, very unique thing for your business. Now, different businesses or organizations might have some of the same measures, but the way a suite of measures is chosen for any one particular business or organization is directly related to their strategy. And it's pretty safe to say that no two businesses are going to have an identical strategy. So no two businesses should have an identical set of KPIs or performance measures. So I don't like the idea of libraries and databases and lists of KPIs being made available without first teaching people that it's important to design your strategy and to have a robust process for selecting the KPIs that are relevant to your strategy. Now, my love relationship with these things is that they really are good inspiration, as Aurelie says, to create your own custom KPIs. So the way I do this, and this is one of the steps in the Pump Blueprint methodology I use to build performance measurement systems, is we first have a discussion about a particular goal that we're wanting to choose a measure for. And we make that goal really, really tangible. We express it in language that makes it really clear what it means and how we would recognize if it was happening. Then we list potential performance measures for that goal. Now, where those potential performance measures come from are from people's current experience, from what might already be being measured in the organization, and from places like KPILibrary.com or other lists of KPIs, industry-specific lists. We then make a deliberate decision about which of those KPIs is the best. Now, I'm not going to go into that in depth. I mean, that's part of the pump methodology, which you have access to on my website if you want to go that way. But the point is, don't go to the KPI list first. Write down the goals that you're trying to measure first and match the KPIs to those goals and choose the KPIs that are going to be the best evidence of those goals. Now, in terms of retail specific KPIs, I know that KPIlibrary.com does have retail specific KPIs, and I might just log in now and give you a sense of how many there are. So KPI Library has at the moment I think about just over 6,000 KPIs for all different kinds of industries and processes, even organized by framework as well. In the wholesale and retail category, there's 100 KPIs. So the idea is that you'd set up your free KPI library account, and then you just search for different KPIs using keywords for your industry or for your business process. Now, William's question is, how do I know if I have the right KPI for our company? Short answer is, William, you don't. You won't ever know if you have the right KPI for your company. Now, you've said KPI and not KPIs. And that's something I noticed too. And I don't know whether that's just a grammatical thing, but it's worthwhile just talking on it really briefly anyway. One performance measure is not going to cut it for any organization or company. It's, wow, just way too narrow. What would your one KPI be that would sum up the success of your company or your organization? There's nothing that will do that. Every organization needs to have a suite of performance measures or interrelated KPIs, and those KPIs collectively tell the story about how the organization's performing to deliver the things that it set itself up to deliver. So you're not going to have one KPI for a start. But how would you know if you had all of the right KPIs? You never know that. You only know if the KPIs you've got now are better than the ones you've had in the past. And you get a feeling for how much better based on how easy you find it to achieve the goals and targets that you've set for the company or the organization. KPIs that encourage people to do the right things, that encourage the right kinds of conversations, that lead to choosing the right kinds of performance improvement initiatives or projects, that lead to the achievement of targets and to ultimately the stakeholders of the company or organization getting happier and happier over time, they're good KPIs. They're the KPIs you want more of, but it's a continual improvement process in getting better and better at finding great KPIs and getting to that point where you really feel like, yeah, we've got a great set of KPIs here. You'll never find the perfect set and use them forevermore. It just won't be the case. You will constantly be refreshing and reviewing and improving your KPIs based on how the performance of your organization or company changes over time and what its strategy or direction is doing and how it's changing over time as well. Carol has a really short and sweet question. Where to start? Well, if you are starting out with performance measurement, the best place to start is to learn. And that would be to learn how to do performance measurement the right way and not repeat all the mistakes that people have made in the past, like using brainstorming to come up with measures or trying to measure goals that are written in weaselly language or coming up with measures and giving them to other people and telling them that these are going to be their measures. There's a whole lot of mistakes that people make with performance measurement. They don't even know their mistakes. They don't even know their bad habits that they need to break or get out of. So the first place to start is to learn a process that's not going to recreate all those mistakes. Now, I've got a how-to kit called Getting Started with Performance Measures, and why I created it was for this exact purpose. It was not to try and teach the full-on pump methodology, but to give you a simple, and I think there's 12 steps in the process, a simple 12-step process to experience good performance measurement, not just in coming up with a good performance measure, but in bringing that measure to life, interpreting it, and using it to get performance to improve. It's really got to be that end-to-end process. So where to start is to adopt a simple little process like that, like the pump getting started with performance measures process, and apply it to just one goal, one area of performance that you know needs to be improved, and take it right through to the end. See what it's like to write a goal in clear, plain language. See what it's like to come up with an evidence-based measure. See what it's like to go and find the right kind of data for a measure, and to interpret the signals in that measure, and to make a decision to improve performance, and then to see the effects of that decision culminate into an increased trend or a positive signal in your performance measure afterwards. That lays the foundation for you then to go larger later with probably a more advanced approach to performance measurement like the POMP blueprint. But starting is about getting a win on the board, and getting started with performancemeasures.com will give you the information about how to get that tool if you want it. Kevin's question is, what is the most effective way to transfer ownership or get buy-in from the owner of the process being measured, rather than having someone as a sort of independent KPI referee, for example, the one who believes that the particular KPI measure should be in place? I think, Kevin, what you're asking there is, how do you make sure that the owners of a process that's being measured will have buy-in to the performance measures that really need to be used to monitor and improve that process? Often it's the case that there'll be a KPI specialist, or in your case, I think you call it an independent KPI referee, who comes up with their KPIs. I've seen it happen loads and loads of times in organisations I've worked in and organisations I've consulted to, where they've hired consultants to come and provide a list of all the KPIs that the organisation should be using. It's a big mistake. You don't get any buy-in that way at all. I would suggest that if you want a particular process in your organization to be measured, then you need to establish a measures team of people who work in that process in addition to the process owner. That measures team could have maybe 4, 5, 6 people in it, no more than that, otherwise you just lose too much momentum and bog down in too many tangents in meetings. But form that measures team as a cross-section of people, possibly volunteers, who want to be involved in it from that process, and take them through the steps of something like POMP to develop the performance measures for that process. That's pretty much the only way they'll have real buy-in to the measures for their process, is that, you know, they've come up with them. Now, they don't need to start with a blank sheet of paper. Certainly how that process gets measured has got to be relevant to the strategy of the organization. But if, you know, if you've got somebody else coming up with the measures and then handing it to the process owner and workers in the process saying, look, here's how you should be measuring your process, you've got Buckley's or none chance of having true buy-in. That's going to be the case for just about any situation. If you want people to own measures that they're going to be the users of, they need to be part of the process of designing them. If you think your independent KPI referee has much more technical knowledge and would come up with better, more sophisticated KPIs, that's fine. But a sophisticated KPI that doesn't have buy-in does more harm to the business than good. It's much better to have a less sophisticated KPI that does have buy-in and that will generate performance improvement in the organization. That buy-in has got to come before the sophistication. Well, I reckon that might do it for this episode of the Measure Up podcast. If you want to give me some feedback about whether you liked this kind of approach, subscriber Q&A, just shoot us an email at measureup@stacybarr.com and let us know what you think. I'm still experimenting, I guess, with the way I'd like to be podcasting, but I'm kind of doing it in a vacuum. It'd be great to hear from some of you listeners about what you'd like. You know, tell me what ideas you have for the podcast, what sort of information you'd want me to share, the kind of format, frequency, all those sorts of things. It'd be great to get some of those ideas from you. So again, just whack it all into an email and send it off to measureup@stacybarr.com. I'll catch you next episode. Keep measuring what matters and encouraging everyone you can to do the same.